So, yeah, say that. Okay, cool. I would say someone, but that'll open another can of worms. So I'm not going to worry about the who you might have injected from, but rejected from something. And I know what that feels like. So I auditioned for the University of Miami School of Music during my first semester of uni. And I had my audition pieces. It was for percussion, so I played a snare piece. I played the xylophone. And I had all these prepared pieces, and I did pretty well. But then I had to sight read. And that was a little bit more difficult. For the snare, I did all right. But when I had to play the xylophone piece, I don't know what happened to this day. It was something I had actually seen before, but it was horrible. I mean, it was so bad that the percussion teacher who was there, he actually came from up behind me and he pat me on the back like, there. Like, it's all right, please don't play anymore. So I knew that I was rejected. I knew I wouldn't have gotten in. And basically, that was his job. He had to evaluate talent to see if I would actually get in, if I were good enough to get into the School of Music, and I wasn't. But what he didn't do was say, you know what? I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work with the little that you have, and I'm going to train you, and I'm going to help you. And I'm not saying he should have done that because he had a job to do. But I'm using that to say the rejects of the days of Jesus are the ones he actually went after, and actually the ones that he wanted. And the same is true of us today. So actually today, for today's talk, the big idea or the main idea is that Jesus made his mark, which is our sermon series, Marked Man. How did he make his mark? He made his mark by accepting the rejected. Jesus made his mark by accepting the rejected. We see that in three parts. In the first part, as Jeff read, we have from Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20. And I won't read the verses again, but we'll just talk about what was going on in that setting, in that time of Jesus, in that time in the Bible. So Jesus basically is looking for people that's going to join him in his ministry. He's trying to find people that are going to follow him and help him bring in to preach the gospel, to bring the good news, because that was his whole objective. But he finds people and he calls people who were fishermen. And if these people were fishermen, then that means they already had their job or their profession. You see, in that time period, basically there were only certain amounts of people that would be able to get to the status to where they would be able to follow a certain rabbi or a teacher. And if they were already at the point where they were fishermen, that means that they weren't good enough to be a follower of another rabbi or another teacher. They already had what they were going to do. They might have tried. They might have wanted to follow a different rabbi, but it didn't, or a different teacher of the day, and it didn't pan out. So they thought, I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going to be a fisherman. But Jesus goes there, and he calls these fishermen to be his followers, which means that they weren't equipped. But it also means that they were the ones at some point that were rejected, at least from their society in some way. So they weren't good enough. They weren't the best or the brightest, but Jesus went to them and he asked them to follow him. So you might be thinking, well, in Mark and also in some of the other gospel accounts of this, it says they left immediately. They dropped their nets immediately and started to follow Jesus. Or they left right away. Why did they leave so suddenly? Why didn't they question it? Well, part of it was because they were finally, in some sort of small way, accepted. And that acceptance went a lot of way for them. It went a long way for them. So imagine, it was as if you're on a football pitch and you're trying to recruit the best and brightest or the most skilled footballers. But you say, you know, they've played a few matches. The ones that never get picked on a team, I'm going to pick them. And we're going to form our own team. You know, like those sort of ragtag tales of the really run-down team, the short guys or the people who aren't so fast. That's pretty much the disciples. They were a group of people who really didn't have all their stuff together. And hopefully we're going to see that's really good news for all of us. But why would he do that, though? Why wouldn't Jesus because he was able to, why wouldn't he go after the best and the brightest so that they could follow him? Why wouldn't he do that? What do you think? Yeah. Exactly. It wasn't about getting the best. Because you know what? If he was able to use those who weren't the best, and even today, able to use those who aren't the smartest or aren't the brightest or aren't the most holy and have it all together, then who really gets the glory from their lives? He does. And at the end, that's what's most important. So Jesus calls the rejected. That's the first thing. But Jesus also loves the rejected, is what we see in Mark chapter 2 and 13 to 17. Jesus loves these people, people whose society back then and even today, they don't really love. So in this part of the story, it's talking about Jesus, and he calls this guy named Levi, in other words, Matthew. That was another name for him. He calls this guy to come follow him. And he also was one that went along and followed Jesus immediately. But he was a tax collector, which means that he was a different category of sinner. So there are all these, they're sinners, right? There's people who do bad things or things that they're not supposed to be doing or dishonor the Lord. But then there were tax collectors. So they were in another league of their own, pretty much. They were money hungry, or at least it was seen that way. They wanted to do whatever they could do to get the next buck, to get the next pound, so to speak, to get the next money, as much money as they could. They would do anything that they could do to get that, even being disloyal to their own people, the Jews, for the sake of the Romans. So they were in the league of their own. They were the worst kinds of sinners. But that's exactly who Jesus called to follow him. So then they follow him. They go to this guy's house, Levi's house, and what do? They're around. They're chilling out. They're having a meal together. But there's a group of people who's not happy with that at all. And this group of people was the Pharisees. So these religious teachers, these people who would have saw themselves as the best and the brightest, these people who would have been the highest, or at least been looked at in society as very high and exalted, they would have been very well respected. So they're looking at Jesus, and they're like, well, why is Jesus eating with all these tax collectors and sinners? If he's really a good guy or holy guy, why is he wasting his time on these tax collectors and sinners? Why is he spending his time with them? But Jesus' response was amazing. He said, it's not the well that need a doctor, but the sick. He said, I've come not to call the righteous, but the sinners. So he's basically saying, I'm with the people who I should be spending my time with. I need to spend my time with people who are the lowest in society, who people consider as the sinners of the day, or people who are rejected for whatever they've done. That's who I need to spend my time with. But there's something very interesting in that statement that he also made by saying that I've not come to call the righteous but the sinners. That was actually a comical statement, because you can see elsewhere in the Bible clearly teaches that no one is righteous. So even these Pharisees and religious teachers who thought that they were the best and they were hot stuff, Jesus was looking like them, like, no. I see through you. I see your heart. I see your greed. I see your pride. I see past the religious facade you're putting on. You're not righteous either, but you think you are. So it's nice of you to think that, pretty much. But it brings an important point. And those of us who think that we are righteous before God in and of ourselves, meaning I don't need God, I'm good. And that was kind of my story. I thought for years I didn't need God. I'm a pretty good guy. Those of us who think that, we're only fooling ourselves. We're not fooling the people around us. We're not fooling the people who know us the best, and we're definitely not fooling God. But those of us who know that, yes, we are unrighteous before a holy and just God, we're exactly where God wants us to be. We're exactly where God wants us to be. And lastly, so Mark 3, 13 to 19. So Jesus not only calls the rejected, he not only loves the rejected, but he sends the rejected. He sends the rejected. So Jesus took this group of people, these people who are rejected from society, and he said, I'm not only going to have them follow me, but I'm going to send them out so that they can share this good news with other people as well. Again, unskilled, untrained, many of them are still dealing with very, very difficult issues, anger issues, pride issues, issues with money, greed, all of that. He said, yeah, you guys, I don't want you to just hang out with me and learn from me. I want you to share what you're learning from me with other people that need it. I basically want you, the rejected, to go out and get some other rejects and usher them in and share with them the gospel and show them that it's that how important I am and show them how much I love them. And as it says there in the text, it says that Jesus wanted these people and he empowered them to be with them, to preach and to drive out demons. But the most important thing from that, it's not the preaching, it's not even the driving out demons, although that's interesting and that might be fun to watch, right? But it's the first thing he said, be with him. Because nothing that they wanted to accomplish or they would dream to accomplish would ever get accomplished without being with Jesus. So he uses the lowly and the rejected to go to more lowly and rejected people. And if you follow throughout the rest of the Gospels, the rest of the accounts about Jesus' life, you'll see that it's exactly the same way. You'll see that pretty much throughout the rest of the entire Bible. God always uses those who are weak or who seem weak so that he can be made strong. He uses those who seem like they're not the best so that he can get the glory from their lives. All right, so what? So what does this mean for all of us, though? What does this mean for people who may already be following Jesus? Or how can we make our own mark? How can we make a difference? Well, we need to remember a few things because we constantly forget things. I know I constantly forget things. We need to remember that those of us who are believers, those of us who are following Jesus, that we were once the rejected. We were once rejected. We've been rejected by the world, desires that we wanted to have. We've been rejected by even goals that we've wanted to have. You ever want something and then realize a year later, I shouldn't have wanted that? But you get it, and then it's like, oh, I wish I didn't want that. Like, we're rejected by everything that we want. We change our minds so quickly. We're so flimsy. Our desires change so quickly. Our flesh, we're in war with our flesh and our desires. And we even might want acceptance from the world and do whatever it takes to get that acceptance. And I'm like, well, how's that going? And many of us know that it doesn't really end well usually. So we've been rejected. But we have been accepted by God to join his loving family. And in John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, just read it quickly. It says, yet to all those who did receive him, talking about Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. So see, we have to remember that, yes, we've been rejected by the world. We've been rejected by our friends, our family even sometimes. But we're accepted by Jesus, and we're accepted into God's family. But we aren't just accepted for us. We aren't just accepted for us because we are, second thing, to love the rejected. See, what happens sometimes with us Christians is that the more and more that we're with Jesus and the further we're along in our faith, we start to look more like the Pharisees and less like Jesus. We begin to create categories for different people and different types of sinners as well. we might have some of those people in mind of our day, in our heads today, that maybe they aren't tax collectors, although we're probably not very happy with the queen for that. But we might have other people in mind. Maybe they're people who don't believe in God at all. Maybe they're people who they wear things on their heads. Maybe they're people who claim to be Christian, but they are not as Christian as we think they should be Christian. Maybe they knock on your door Saturday morning, possibly. Maybe they live in estates. Maybe they're people on benefits. Maybe there's people that we know that are taking advantage of the system. Maybe those are the types of sinners that we think, oh, well, not them. Not them. Not those people who are confused. Not those people who don't even know who they want to be, what identity they want to have. No, not those people. Those people are too far from God. Sometimes we think that. But know this, that Jesus' love was so real and so obvious to anyone, even the Pharisees. And they were like, why is he with them? And it was obvious. He wanted to be with them to show that he loved them. And it wasn't a coincidence that he was able to show this through a meal. And as we know, something magical happens when food's in front of you, right? It's like you can then let down some barriers. You can have great conversations. Some of the relationships that have been forged in this room have been with a plate of food in front of us. But if we aren't willing to share our lives with people, we're not willing to share a meal with people, we're not willing to share our thoughts and ideas with people, then we shouldn't be surprised if they don't come here to church. And we shouldn't be surprised if we're not making a difference, because without love, we'll ultimately be ineffective. I just want to read a quick quote. This was very, very long time ago, 1845. But let this not be said of us. And this is talking about Christians when we really take our eyes off Jesus. We don't love people. It says, they attend with pharisaical strictness the outward forms of religion and at the same time neglect the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. They are always ready to sacrifice, but seldom ready to show mercy. They are they who are represented as professing to love God whom they've not seen while they hate their brother who they have seen. They love the heathen or the sinner. On the other side of the globe, they can pray for him, pay money to have Bibles put into his hand and missionaries to instruct them, but they despise and totally neglect the sinners at their own doors. That should not be said of us, because we're called to love the rejected. And we're also sent, lastly, to the rejected. But why would God choose us to do that, to do such a vast thing? Why couldn't he just use angels? Why couldn't he just snap his fingers and there, it's all sorted? And some of us might think, like I think sometimes, well, I'm just really, really inadequate to try to share the good news or to live a good life, or to show people that God loves them. I feel really inadequate most days. But those disciples were too. Those disciples were too. And we're sitting here right now because with all their difficulties, with all the ways that they were inadequate, they still loved Jesus enough to follow him. And also, they were with him. And we have the same challenge. We have the same chance to remain in him and spend our time with him and learn from him and read our word and pray and spend time with other believers. Because through that, we'll get the strength that we need so that we can be used in this world, even in a very, very small way. The Bible says, without Jesus, we can do nothing. Until we absolutely believe that, we won't even spend our time with Jesus. So lastly, as I close, if we really want to make our mark, if we want to have a better example in this world, if we want to be used by God, if we want to make our mark the same way that Jesus did, then we don't have to look any further than what Jesus has already done. Because he never asked us to do anything that he hasn't modeled already for us. You see, Jesus so that we would be accepted by God. He was rejected. He came to his own, and his own did not accept him, the Bible says. The Bible says he also cried out from the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He was forsaken and rejected so that we could be accepted. And so that we could be loved, he was despised. It says, he who knew no sin became sin. The worst possible thing that we can imagine, he became that so that we can become the righteousness of God. And lastly, just like we are sent to the rejected, he was sent on mission here to this world, to the rejected, to love, to seek, to serve, and to ultimately reach them. And as our motto text for the year says, and Jesus said, "Peace be with you," in John 20:21. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he's sending us, even though we're, if we admit it, we're pretty jacked up. I'll raise my hand and be the first one to admit that. So, has Jesus made his mark on your life yet? He's already done the hard part. He's made his mark. He's already gone to people who are rejected. He's already loved. He's already served them. But has that made a difference in your life yet? And if it has, then is Jesus using you to leave your mark in this world? And if so, then I can almost guarantee that that will be through going to and trying to reach and love and serve those who this world rejects. And with that said, let us pray. God, we thank you that you didn't send Jesus to come to the best and brightest, because that would not include me, and that would not include a lot of people in this room, Lord. We thank you that you're merciful enough to even though you see through everything that we've ever done and even will do, your love continues. And Lord, we love and we appreciate that, but we don't want that just to be for us. Lord, we want to be you so we can show other people that you love them, that even if they are rejected, even if they feel ashamed or despised or even hated by this world, that we can actually show them love and grace and mercy, but ultimately truth, and truth of your word and the truth of your gospel, and that you came for them and that you gave your life for them, Lord, that you rose on the third day and you took it back so that we can live victorious lives with you and accepted by you. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.